Hello, and welcome to the Book Smarts podcast, where we talk about publishing data and technologies and send you away with some insights that will help you sell more books. I'm your host, Joshua Talent. So this episode's going to be just a little bit different than normal episodes are here on the Book Smarts podcast. It's summertime. Vacation gets in the way, you know, time kind of gets away from me. So I didn't have a lot of time to put together an interview like I liked. I've got some interviews coming up that I'm really excited about. But I've been thinking just recently about a couple of things, and I thought I would just throw them out there. The biggest thing here, and I think a really important topic for publishing to remember and kind of stay on top of, is the need for standards, independent, high quality standards for the industry that we work in. Now, I'm, for those of you who may not know, I'm on the board of directors of the Book Industry Study Group, so I'm kind of covered and surrounded in standards for that, and also in my job at Firebrand, talking about metadata and things like that. There's lots of standards that we use in our modern world, and sometimes standards we don't even think about it. We don't think a lot about how standards have evolved necessarily, or kind of why they are sometimes the way they are. This is an interesting topic to me for a variety of reasons, obviously related to work, but also I was reading through a newsletter the other day, and I saw an article in Science Magazine that was really interesting because it talks about how in the Bronze Age, and I keep coming back to the Bronze Age, one of my favorite times in history. If you missed my earlier episode about Bronze Age movement and transport and things, there's an earlier episode you should listen to about that. But in Bronze Age Europe, there was a movement to establish standard weights and measures that was not actually done by the governments of that time. It was actually, obviously, there weren't really large, extensive governments back in the Bronze Age, but there were lots of different standard weights that were used by different merchants to trade goods of equivalent value across everything from Egypt to Mesopotamia and everywhere else. And it's interesting because when you know, we've done lots of excavations in different parts of the world. What's interesting is that in the different locations, we have found objects that were consistent enough in weight to be considered basically the same weight and measure. And so there's a lot of question, okay, why did in different parts of the world, different cities, maintained by different, by the same government or anything like that, how did they come up with these standards? And the standardization process is kind of interesting and very important when you think about it. Back in the day, if I've got a certain number of, say, almonds or something, and I want to sell my almonds, I want to make sure that I'm getting the right price for them. And then the person buying them wants to make sure that I'm not cheating them on the sale, and I'm giving them the correct amount. And so having standard weights and measures is obviously a very important thing. If you go back to, say, biblical times, there's commandments in the Torah, in the Bible, that say that you're supposed to have standard weights and measures that are consistent and that are not going to, cause someone to think that you're stealing from them and things like that. So this is actually built into all of the political and religious systems of the ancient Near East, because it's important. It's important to have those. What's really cool is when you think about, those standard weights and measures, and then continue up through into modern history, this has been obviously a continual process, a continual requirement for trade to work properly between different countries and different civilizations. So you get into the 1700s, and it's really interesting because in 1799, there was an internationally defined unit of measure for the kilogram. It was originally defined as, the mass of 1 liter of water, but in order to make sure that everyone could very easily maintain the correct weights and correct standard of what a kilogram actually is, there was a piece of platinum that was defined as, this piece of platinum is the exact weight of a kilogram. And then in 1889, that was replaced by another cylinder of platinum iridium. that was known as the international prototype of the kilogram. And that still, that piece of platinum iridium is still in France, in Paris, in a very highly temperature controlled environment. And up until 2019 was the international standard for a kilogram. So if you wanted as a country to have your own kilogram standard weight so that you could use that for doing scientific experiments and making sure that everything is consistent, you would have to go and measure your weight against the weight of this international standard piece of platinum iridium to define that that was, you know, you had the correct weight. This is so, is such an interesting topic because, you know, think about how much effort had to go into that and how many different people had to be involved across the entire world to not only come up with that standard, but then to maintain that standard, how much interconnectivity it requires for individuals and for governments and everyone else to be willing to say, this is the standard. Regardless of whether governments change or, you know, other things happen, the scientific community kind of kept that standard as 100% the same standard for everybody, regardless, across the entire world, essentially. And then you get to 2019, and there's an interesting story about this. Basically, the problem is now you've got this piece of platinum that's sitting there in Paris, and how difficult is it for me as an individual scientist to, you know, go and measure my weight against that weight? And so it becomes this big problem of how do you ensure that all the weights are correct? And so I'll link to a story in the show, a video in the show notes by Veritasium, which is a really great YouTube channel that I highly recommend. Science YouTube channel is very good. Veritasium has this really great video about how this standard came to be changed. And the international organization that maintains these standards actually said, well, in order to make this easier for everyone to do, we have to instead define the kilogram not based on this piece of physical platinum in Paris, but to base it on Planck's constant. And to do that, they actually had to define what Planck's constant is, because Planck's constant as a number had some variability, some uncertainty to it. And so there's this really interesting process. All these countries had to go through to kind of do experiments to compare to each other and find out what can we agree on as the official standard for what Planck's constant is, so that therefore we can define the mass and the mass of this object as being, or this, the mass of a kilogram as being this amount. So it's a very interesting topic. So anyway, I'm going to take all of this and try to boil it down to some interesting topic here and connect it somehow to publishing. Standards are important. That's really what it comes down to. In the world that we live in, we have tons and tons of standards that we just rely on a daily basis. And in publishing, there are lots of standards as well that we also rely on. But a lot of times we don't necessarily focus much attention on the intricate details of those, or we don't think about the fact that sometimes certain standards are important, but we don't do them at all. We don't use them at all. So obviously Onyx is an international standard for book metadata, and that's an important standard, and everyone, I think, understands that, although there are some definite limitations in how it's used and whether it's used in certain circumstances, and there's a lot of questions about how do we effectively utilize Onyx. When it comes down to it, it is an international standard that everyone recognizes as being the best way to do things. EPUB is also a similar kind of standard in publishing. It took a long time for us to get from all the early days of ebook files. And I used to create, as an ebook developer, I used to create a couple of, 4, 5, 6 different ebook files for clients, because there were so many different formats that you had to deal with. And every different device had its own format and all that kind of stuff. So it's great that we have standardized down to a single standard of EPUB. And even in the Kindle platform, which still has its own, technically has its own format, Amazon has seen that publishers really just want to make an EPUB file as much as possible and deliver that. And so that's become kind of the international kind of default standard. But there's a lot of other standards that we may not think about much or may not implement as much as we like. The ISNI, the International Standard Name Identifier, is, I think, one of the most important standards in publishing that we, a lot of people don't even know about it, don't even know that it exists or have a reason to think about it. An ISNI is a basically like an ISBN for people. So you yourself as an author or a creative person who has, you know, written a song or, you know, published a book or, you know, whatever kind of creative work you've done, being able to define you as a person is important in the supply chain that we have. We do this with books by using ISBNs, although ISBNs have some limitations as well, as exemplified in a lot of the library systems out there that, you know, they need even more defined characteristics for the individual ebook file, not just for the ISBN of the book. But there's a lot of value in being able to say, well, this John Smith is this John Smith who wrote these books or sang these songs or whatever it is. And so it's really important for us to think about how can we define things in a much more consistent way, especially as computer communication continues to expand. As we're letting systems handle the delivery of data and the aggregation of data and the dissemination of data in a lot of different ways that we don't want to have human intervention. And the more we rely on that, the more important it is for us to also rely on the standards that help those computer systems communicate effectively. And you can see this as a problem very quickly if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or some other website and you do a search for the name of an author that's a little bit more generic. It's hard sometimes to really find exactly what you're looking for, because it could be that there's 20 John Smiths who have written books, and you know, it's just one of those things where it's very important to have consistency. So ISNI, I think the ISNI is, I think, a very important standard. There's other standards as well out there, and there's new standards coming out all the time. And I think we might have a conversation about another standard coming out in the future, maybe later this fall. But I just think it's important for us as publishing professionals to think about where standards are and think about where the standards are affecting our day-to-day work and how can we as publishers engage a little bit more with those standards to think about how those standards apply to us and to the work we do and to the books we publish so that we can more effectively disseminate information properly, keep consistency and visibility for products, And just ensure the longevity of the work that we do. I think there's a lot of value in that. On the flip side of this, there's also some other things, other reasons why standards are important. And I think it's beneficial to publishers to look at these standards as a company-wide, industry-wide movement and to put effort behind it. So if you work for a publisher and you're in any way involved in dealing with standards on a daily basis, maybe you have to assign BISAC subject codes, maybe you're in charge of handling metadata of some kind, or maybe you're an ebook developer, or maybe you're a publisher, maybe you actually are the publisher of the publishing head, and you're in charge of making sure that your company is staying on task and doing the things it's supposed to be doing. There's a lot of reasons why you individually, as a person who's in the industry, as a professional, can, and I think should, be involved in standards creation and standards maintenance. There's a lot of benefit to having more voices in standards development. If you look at the BISG committees, the BISAC committee has a lot of input from different publishers and needs a lot of input from different publishers to know whether or not certain BISAC subject codes should be included or not included in the next update. So if you're a publisher and you have different types of books and you want to make sure that your books are categorized in a logical way, in a consistent way, it's good to have that input and to submit those ideas to the committee, or even join the committee if you feel like you have a voice to be on that committee. There's other committees as well for BISG, there's the metadata committee and the supply chain committee and things. There's lots of places where, as an industry, more voices are beneficial. And your voice matters in helping maintain the standards that we use every single day to drive publishing and to make publishing work. So I just encourage you, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to the story about the ancient ancient European standards, weights and measures, and also put a link to the video about the kilogram. I think both of them are very interesting stories. But I just encourage you, as we move toward the past the middle of the year here and into the fall, if you've got a little bit of extra time, if you've got some effort that you can make, some time that you can put toward toward the industry and toward helping the industry grow, I recommend that you reach out to the Book Industry Study Group, the IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. Join committees, get involved, help develop standards, help everyone else in the community, in the publishing community, see where there's benefit in standards, and let's move forward as an industry. Let's make sure that we have these great ideas that we've got, that we can actually implement them, and we can make publishing move forward through the use of standards. So that's it for this episode of the Book Smarts podcast. I appreciate you taking some time to listen to my little rant here about standards. If you like what you've heard, then please go leave a review or a rating in your podcast app. And also, please do share this podcast with your colleagues. I really appreciate that you guys are sharing it around and letting your coworkers know about it. If you have a topic suggestion or you have some feedback for me, you can email me directly at joshua@firebrandtech.com. And thanks a lot for joining me and for getting smarter about your books.